This was around 700 years before Christ was born. We find that Assyria had already overrun Samaria and the northern kingdoms and looked as if the nation of Israel was demolished. But the prophet looks down in prophecy, way down the line, and he sees the nation of Israel in the millennial reign, worshiping and praising God with a wonderful testimony. I want you to know that God knows it all.
Amen.
He knows the first and the last.
Right.
And all this in between.
Hallelujah.
He sees them as they're worshiping in the end time. How they have come to God and God's blessed them and forgiven them. And now they are His in the eternal ages. And then I read in the 26th chapter in the 3rd verse. Isaiah said, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." God will keep Israel in perfect peace. And let me just throw this out tonight. He will keep us in perfect peace if we'll keep our minds on the Lord. Then the turn with me to the book of Jude. I'd like to read the last few verses of the book of Jude. Verses 24 and 25. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Amen. Listen closely to my ears. Worthy of our praise. Thank God, thank God, thank God. We sing, "The course, he's all that I need." We sing that he is my everything. He is my all. While John was on the Isle of Patmos, having been exiled there for preaching the gospel, persecuted, the Bible says while he was out there on that island, that rocky island, he heard the voice of the Almighty God. He heard the voice of the Lord as a mighty trumpet behind him and saying these words while John was there. Jesus said unto him, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the first, and the last." Amen. Let me say that again. And with a loud voice, as of a trumpet, and cried, "Heard the Lord Jesus saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And I say, "Amen. Surely, he's our all, he's our everything. He's from A to Z.
Amen.
And everything in between." I'm not going to run through the alphabet. I'd like you to understand tonight, he's our advocate. He's our burden bearer. He's our constant companion. He's our deliverer. He's our encourager. He's our friend. He's our guide. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our justifier. When you get to the letter K, I want you to understand tonight, the Bible tells me that he's our keeper.
Yes.
That's what I want to preach about.
Amen.
Jesus the keeper.
Amen.
The same one that saved me from sin, my wife and I from sin all those years ago, has kept me husband unto this hour. There's a good news in the Bible. Well, I'm glad the gospel is good news. And that is that he will keep on keeping me forever and forever and forever if I'll just trust him. Thank God. Brother, that's enough to shout about.
Amen.
This is not a temporary thing. This is not just a crack. See if you like it. This is real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Forever and forever. Praise God. Likely most everyone tonight in this building is present with a familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau in the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, how that Jacob had deceived his brother Esau. And when he did, stole his birthright. And when he did, Esau was angry. And he said, "I'll kill him. I'll kill him." His arm brother, and because of that, filled with the heart of Jacob, and he left home. He runs for his life. He flees for his life. He goes to Peniel, where his uncle is, and decided, "I'll go stay with my uncle for a while, and then I'll come back home, and my brother will have forgotten it all. It'll all blow over, and we'll all live happily ever after."
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says, when he left home, and that first night when he came to a place called Bethel, tired, sleepy, found some stones and made the stones as a pillar. Put his head on the stones and went to sleep, and while he was asleep, according to the Bible, he had a vision, had a dream. I'm going to read from the 28th chapter of Genesis. I'm going to read from the 13th verse. Listen to what it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it, saw a ladder. A ladder that reached from the earth to heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Oh, let me just once again, I want to mention that. Some time ago, the grandfather of Jacob, God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you and bless your seed, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your seed. Your seed will be like the dust of the earth, and now Isaac has come along, and now the grandson Jacob has come along. While he's in Bethel that night, in a vision, in a dream, seeing a ladder that reaches into heaven, and the Lord's at the top of the ladder, and the angels are going up and coming down, and ministering to Jacob, and God says to Jacob, I'm going to make your seed like I told Abraham. And your grandfather is going to be like the dust of the earth. Amen. I'm going to bless every family of the earth through your seed, through the Lord Jesus. Amen. He renewed the promise that he made to the great patriarch Abraham. He renews it to Jacob. And Jacob had deceived his brother. We wouldn't really understand that. What would we promise somebody to deceive his brother and running for his life? Supplanted his brother. What would we think? I'm glad God looks at things different than we do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes I imagine we would zap some folks. But aren't you glad God didn't zap us? We deserve something similar to that. But God was merciful. Amen. Amen. Now while he's there, let me read that verse again. Listen to what the Lord tells him in that verse. 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I will go with you on your way to your uncle's house. I will stay there with you while you're there, and I will come back home with you. I will be with you, and I will keep you. But you can't ask anything better than that. Jesus, the keeper. Same promises hold true to us tonight. He said, I will go with you, and I will keep you. I will bless you like Jacob. We too are strangers and pilgrims. We're traveling through of this land. This land is not our home. The choir, the congregation sings, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Let me just testify for a moment. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I was born in the front bedroom of the home, the family home, in Clinton, North Carolina, in Sampson County. My folks moved all the way to Fox Hill when I was 10 months old. They didn't come to any big city when they came to Fox Hill. I was raised and graduated from high school while living in Fox Hill. I am a nobody from nowhere. But one day I got saved. Now to think somebody in God. I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
The blood, the royal blood is in my veins tonight. Hallelujah. I'm royalty. Hallelujah. I'm a prince with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In this world, as the world looks upon us, we are nothing. We are nothing. Nothing. But in the eyes of God, you're somebody.
Amen.
And God looked down at Jacob that night as he made the pillar, the stone, the pillar. And he had that vision of God. And I like this. The Lord was at the top of the ladder.
Yes.
He was the Lord speaking unto him. The angels are descending and coming back down. They're ministering unto Jacob. And God says two things I want to mention to you tonight. He says, Jacob, I'm going to go with you to your uncle's house. While you're there, I'm going to be with you. And when you leave your uncle's house to come back home, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to keep you everywhere you go. Thank God. Brother, when God tells you that, you've got something to rejoice about.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen. Whatever the world might be, what anyone might say, whatever the persecution might be, if the Lord says, I'll go with you, but we're going to win. We can't lose. Amen, amen. Let me ask a question tonight. Have you felt the Lord with you recently?
Amen.
Has it been close by?
Yes.
Thank God, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Last Wednesday night in Bible study.
I did something we don't usually do. When it's time to receive the prayer request, I asked the people on Wednesday night to just come right here to the altar. Before we even had Bible study, just come here and pray. Pray one with another. And we did, and I was standing right here. And I heard Curtis pray. Now, Curtis is not usually standing that close to me when the church is praying. And I heard Curtis praying, and I didn't open my eyes watching him pray, but I had my ears open. He wasn't praying to me. He wasn't praying to be heard of people. He was praying out of his heart. That's through me. And when we dismiss Wednesday night, I asked Curtis for the first time to dismiss us in prayer. I remember what you said, Tom, the other Sunday. First time I called on you to pray. It's been a lot of difference between then and now. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Curtis, I want to say this to you tonight, to your wife and to your mom and to the church. When you're saved, you can never pray wrong.
Amen.
If you're praying out of your heart.
Amen.
You might not be able to pray like someone else, but when you're praying out of your heart, God hears.
Amen.
Don't ever try to imitate someone else.
No.
Be yourself.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Here is Jacob. He's out yonder running from his brother, running for his life. And God saying to him, giving him a promise on the first night, saying, Jacob, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to keep you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be with you all the way to your uncle's house. And while you're there, I'll be with you. And I'm going to keep you here. And when you get ready to leave there, I'll be with you, Joseph. And I'm going to keep you. He said to me tonight, and he said to everyone tonight that loves God, I am with you. Hallelujah. I will never leave you. Praise God. I will keep you in the palm of my hand.
Amen.
I read about the palm of God's hand in the book of Isaiah. Maybe I didn't read it. Let me go back. Well, I read what I was going to. This morning I read quite a bit how the Lord created it all. He said, I will keep you in the way that you go. Thank God. In the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, not long before Moses was to die. This is amazing. Moses loved God. And God said, Moses, you're going to die. I want you to come up on the mountain. You're going to die. Do you think that was a hard trip for Moses? I don't. I believe that he knew that as he went up on that mountain, he was going to be with God. He went up on the mountain and he died and God buried him. But before he went up on the mountain, he called the people together. He called the leaders together and called the folks together. And began to tell them, remind them, not only of the Ten Commandments that God had given some 30 years earlier, but he began to relate to them, tell them how we ought to live, what we ought to do, how we ought to serve God. And then he mentioned something like this, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, and Joshua's going to be your leader. I'm not going to be here. And let them know as God has been with me, he'll be with Joshua. Sometimes folks get the idea and that then one minister or one teacher or one leader is taken from the scene that now what are we going to do? God see God!
Yeah.
Amen, amen. He's in control.
Amen.
And I'm glad that he is.
Yes.
Amen. He said that Joshua's going to lead you on across the dead river over in the promised land. And you listen to what Joshua has to say and obey God as he leads you. And how did God bless in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy? Let me read verses 3 and 6. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. He be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Now be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses said, Joshua's going to lead you, but God is going with you. Listen, Joseph, it's good to have Moses, it's good to have Joshua, but it's better to have God. God will go with you. Thank God, thank God. We are neither Joshua nor the people of Israel, but we are the people of God. We are saved by grace through faith. Washed in the blood.
Amen.
On our way to heaven. Just as God promised Jacob, and now the children of Israel, the return of them. He promises to go with us. He is our constant companion. I'm going to leave that thought now, go to the second part, but keep this in mind. I have never heard the Lord or read anything from the Lord's Word that is more real to me than God saying, I will go with you.
Amen. Amen.
I will go with you. Wherever I have you to go, I will go with you. Sometimes it might seem as if God is asking something hard. Do this, or go here. Listen closely. But when God says, I will go with you, you can have hope.
Amen.
You can rejoice. Because if He goes with you, things are going to work out all right. What a Savior, what a mighty God. He is our constant companion. Sometimes in our Christian experience, no doubt we have felt like we were all alone. Where are you, God? I'm like Job. I looked to my left and I didn't see you. I looked to my right, I didn't see you. I looked up there and I didn't see you. I looked behind, I couldn't see you. But Job said, but all the time I knew that you were watching me through the lattice work. I might not be able to see you, God, but I know you see me. That's enough to rejoice about, to be glad about tonight. He is our constant companion. Second thing that I'd like to bring to that attention tonight is found in the 121st Psalm. Turn there with me. This is one of the Psalms that I memorized when I was a boy. 121st Psalm. It's a good one. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. And I want to stop right there. The Lord, the second part that I want to mention tonight, our God not only is our constant companion, the Lord watches over us. The Lord is there to watch over us, to take care of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the watchman. And I just read in the 121st Psalm, He's the watchman that never goes to sleep. Let me say that again. Any of you that's been in the military, did you ever pull guard duty? For 6 hours, or maybe 8 hours, or whatever the time, sometimes you got very sleepy. Some have even gone to sleep on guard duty. That's a dangerous thing in wartime. And I brought on guard duty. I remember, and I didn't do that very much, but I remember pulling guard duty on a tarmac for B-29s, a bomber, while the Korean War was going on, way out on the backside of Yokota Air Force Base in Japan. And those B-29s were on this tarmac here, and then on down there, on that, a little further down on another apron, on further down. The only one you could talk to was the one next to you because you all had to holler even to get to hear each other. That's how far apart we were in the middle of the night. And there was a fence right out there, and on the other side of that fence was Japan. And this is 1950. And we just defeated Japan in 1945. And they were not happy with us. Just over that fence. Then some had come over the fence, and there had been some danger. And the thought about it was, I had a carbine, but I didn't have any rounds. Sending somebody to pull guard duty, and you couldn't even defend yourself. I don't know what, if someone came over the fence, I don't know what, please don't come here. But this is important, folks. Not only is he our constant companion, He said, I'll go with you, and I'll be with you all the time, all the way. On the second part that I've read that I mentioned tonight, He watches over us. Not just with us, but watches over us. The Bible says in the 2 Chronicles 16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is planted towards Him. God's eyes are watching over us. Amen. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says, I read that today as well, God sits on the circle of the earth. I thought about people some years ago that thought the earth was flat. If they just read the Bible, God sits on the circle of the earth. There can't be a circle of the earth if the earth is flat. Wouldn't you think somebody would have understood that? But God is almighty. And He's watching over us. And the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. That means in heaven. That means in Carolina. That means in New York. That means everywhere. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, seeking out those that He might be able to bless. Somebody that's calling after Him. Someone that needs Him. Someone that desires Him to come along. Aren't you glad tonight He's watching you? Amen. I've mentioned this before. But tonight as a boy, we sung a song called Watching You. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And I had children have all kinds of imaginations. And I had a thought that God, there's a big eye in the sky. And He's watching me, trying to catch me doing something wrong. But the older I got, the more I realized, God's not trying to catch us doing wrong. God's wanting to lift us up, encourage us, forgive us. God's not out to put us down. God's not out to condemn us. He's out there to lift us up, to save us. Thank God, thank God. And His eyes is watching. And He watched my wife and I. And we went to church every Sunday morning, but we didn't go to the altar. And we go back to church next Sunday morning, but we didn't go to the altar. And the next Sunday morning, we didn't go to the altar, but God was watching it all. And God didn't give up on us. And He kept on watching. And one Sunday morning, He watched and watched and watched until He saw that we were ready. God, the Word of God had gotten a hold of our hearts. He saw that we were ready. And He tapped us on the shoulder, so to speak, whispered in our ear and said, come and I'll save you in essence.
Amen.
I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
My wife and I joined hands and opened up the eye and knelt on the side of the altar and got saved together. And that was February 1955. Brother, that's a long time ago. But the Lord was watching us. Now let me share something else with you. We got saved February 1955 because His eyes were looking for us. And now that we're saved, don't you ever believe He's quit watching.
That's right.
He's still looking to do something good.
Yes.
He's looking for you and the millions of our family to come by and to bless and to meet a need and to share something good with us. He's a good God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's good. Tonight He's watching us. The presence of the Lord is with us. But also the eyes of the Lord are looking to put up in the light tabernacle. He's watching Tommy. He's watching Sharon. He's watching Ronnie. He's watching you and me. He wants to bless.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God. The Bible says the angels of the Lord are watching over us in the book of Psalms. But I'm going to tell you something greater than the angel. God Himself is watching over us. Hallelujah. There's that verse of Scripture that talks to us about a mother hen when the storm is coming. If you've ever been on a farm and ever had any chickens, you know when it begins to lighten and thunder and all the rest, how somehow that mother hen lets her babies know it's time to run. They run. They get under her wings and she brings them up close to cover them. And she's watching over them. I want you to know there's a God in the heavens tonight that's in trouble somehow. He brings us under His arms and His wings about us. We are Him under the wings of Almighty God. We used to sing the song, Under His Wings. Aren't you glad tonight? He's watching over us. I mentioned my dad. I always thought if Daddy was in the house, everything's going to be all right. If Daddy was there, there's somebody greater than my Daddy. He's Almighty God, watching over us. One more time, let me mention it. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro across the width and the breadth of the land, seeking someone, searching out someone, someone that's hungry, someone that needs a blessing, someone that needs a touch from heaven. What a good God. You know what I'd say right now? Come by here, God, tonight. Come by here tonight, God. Minister in a real way in the lives of the people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're one of those that love Him, if you're one of those that have a perfect heart towards Him tonight, this promise is for you. You're His child. He loves you. The middle portion of that verse that I read, He will be there showing Himself strong in our behalf. He's the captain of our salvation. And when the enemy comes against us, the Bible says, our God will lift up a standard against him. Let me leave that with you before I go on. The enemy will come against you. He'll do everything he can to destroy you. But God is watching over you. And when the enemy comes against you, the Bible says, our God will lift up a standard against him. Our God will fight the battles for us. He's the captain of our salvation. And remember this, he's never lost a battle.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm on his side. Someone said, I'm glad the Lord's on my side. No, it's a whole lot better to be on his side. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He's not only our constant companion, he's our watchman, the watchman that never sleeps. And finally, he says, God is our keeper. At the outset, I read Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, or on thee, because he trusted in thee. The man that loves God and trusts God and obeys God, he can live in peace. Even when there's troubles and trials around about.
Amen.
There are some things in this world that people don't understand, especially the ungodly, the unsaved. And one thing that they cannot understand is how that you can have peace in your heart when the world seems to be on fire.
Yep.
Turmoil everywhere.
That's right.
In our government, everywhere. In our economy, in our monetary system. They're printing money faster than you can count. The economy of America, and I'm not a doomsayer, the economy of America, we are piling up debt so fast that we are drowning our young children, our grandchildren. They'll never get it paid. We'll be the first generation, no doubt, since America's coming to existence, the first generation that has left our children worse off than it was when we came along. And that's sad. I'm not talking about a person or one person. I'm talking about America's lost its way.
Yes.
You can't run God out of school and God out of the government and expect God to come on the scene when you need help.
That's the truth.
When we had Sandy to come by, or Isabel to come by, or somebody else, some tragedy coming out, people say, let's pray. But when it's all over, don't say things to God. Then we wonder why. And so like we are, he's our constant companion. He is our watchman. He's our keeper. When everything is going wrong, don't let the things of this world, don't let the things that are happening in this world. It's easy to almost feel as if there's no hope. Let me leave another illustration. Young people go get out of high school with good grades. They're accepted into college, and many of them, they got student loans, believing that when I get my degree, I will get a good job and I will pay off my student loan and I'll be able to make a good living and live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get a bachelor's degree and maybe a master's degree, and when they get out of school, there's no job for them to go back home to mom and daddy. Nothing. No work in this prosperous America. This great nation of America, something's wrong.
Amen.
I'm not here to try to make it right tonight. I don't know how, but I know someone who can.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
That's right.
And he's our keeper. Don't let this bother you. Don't let, because young people that are graduating this year, this is the last year in high school for some of our young people. Don't let the thought that everything is falling apart hinder you. Serve God with all of your heart. Love him with everything you've got. And God will take care of you.
Yes, he will. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
While so many seemingly are trying to search for their way, God will keep us. We are the apple of his eye, the Bible says. We are his children, and he loves us. The Bible lets us know there's a peace that only the redeemed can know. I'm going to close in a moment. We're going to have a baptismal service. I want everyone to understand peace does not come by having a good bank account.
No.
Peace does not come by having a nice home.
No.
These are nice things, but that does not bring peace. Peace comes with Christ in your heart and life.
living in your heart and life every day. The peace of God reigning. When he was writing to the Philippian believers, Paul said, "And the peace of God shall, which passeth all understanding," listen to this, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, saved by grace, amen. Your sins having been washed away, walking in the light of God's word, with peace in your heart and in your life, it will keep you in the time of storm. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," listen to this, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens." I preached from that verse some years ago. I'm not going to take time to preach it tonight, but listen to this. If you're saved by grace tonight, you have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's pure. It's holy. It's good. If you're saved by grace tonight, you have an inheritance that's undefiled. It's never been touched by sin. An inheritance undefiled. You have an inheritance that fadeth not away. I'm not a historian, but I believe I can tell you some things that I've read. And I've read it from the Bible. There's coming a time when everything that you can see is going to be done away with.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth shall pass away. But God's word is going to stand the test forever.
Amen.
I want you to notice the beautiful buildings. The Empire State Building. The new building that they built to replace one of the twin towers. The Sears Building in Chicago. Oh, so many beautiful places around the world. The Taj Mahal in India. So many beautiful places. They'll all crumble. They'll all come down. They'll all fade from the picture. But I want you to know, the Word of God will never fade away. And the Bible says the inheritance that is mine tonight is eternal in the heavens. It will never fade away. Hallelujah. There will be time no more. The first billion years, and it'll still be there. The second billion years, and it'll still be there. The third billion years, and it'll still be there. My inheritance is forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Incorruptible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And will never fade away. Thank God. Thank God. Never fade away. I have watched in this church people fade from the scene of action. Over these many years, the church has been in existence. One year, one day, the first person that I preached a funeral for out of this congregation of the Bundle of Tabernacle was Billy. What's his last name? Peggy's husband. His grandfather, Atkins. Billy Atkins' grandfather, Buck Atkins, when he was about 80 years old, he got saved. Joined the church. The first one that I preached his funeral in this church, Buck Atkins, lived in a little shanty over close to the cemetery over here now, Park Lawn. A little house at the end of the road. Had a little stove. Sat in there, had no other heat in the house, a little stove there, and I went to visit. Here's Buck Atkins, an elderly man, sick now. And he had gotten saved and got baptized and joined the church. He sat right over here. And I thought from Buck Atkins all the way looking around the congregation where they used to sit, they faded from the picture. But I want you to know something tonight. The inheritance that is ours will never fade away.
Amen.
Although they have faded from this church, I want you to know they're alive forevermore.
Amen.
On the other side, serving God, loving God, obeying God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me say those four things one more time. He said, "I have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven." I like that. There's times when you get a reservation, and when you get there, they've given it to someone else. We went all the way to Oklahoma City for a youth convention. Took a band load from a Bundle Light Tabernacle. Way back yonder several years ago, whole band load. 15 of us went in the van with our luggage. We were packed in. And we had reservations made at the Days Inn. And when they got there, we found out that the reservations had been canceled out and we didn't have a place.
it sort of gets you upset if you didn't know God. But God knows it all, and we found another place. And God took care of us. But listen to this. I've got a reservation in heaven. I've got an inheritance in the heaven. And that is not only incorruptible. And not only will it never fade away. And not only all that, but the Bible says to me that it is eternal in the heavens. Amen. It will be there forever. It's a reservation that I have. And my inheritance is reserved for me in the glory world. No one else is going to get it. God is making a place for me over yonder.
Amen.
And I'm going to move in. I'm going to move in. I never did like to move down here, but that's one move I'm going to make.
Amen.
And be glad of. Amen. I was looking, I think it was yesterday, Tom was in by the house, and when he went into the yard, he looked at all of that stuff. And I still get my van inside there. That's with all that stuff. And another garage out yonder. And an attic. And an extra room here, and an extra room over there with all that stuff. Thank God I don't have to move that stuff to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
I've got an inheritance waiting for me on the other side. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day." Paul said, "I know he's able to keep it." I'm going to read the last two verses of Jude again. "Now one of him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." Amen, amen. He will keep us all the way to the end. Did you get me this long? And I have a promise. If I will serve him and obey him, he will keep me until that day.